Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. Glad you found your way. Hope you all had a good lunch. Our next speakers are Richard and Carol Lassen. Richard and Carol Lassen are first and foremost parents of 6 children and grandparents to 23 grandchildren. Richard and Carol met on Y Day at BYU. While they were dating, Richard was drafted into the Army and left to serve in Vietnam and then Okinawa. Richard returned home on leave, and the morning after Carol graduated from BYU, they were married in the Salt Lake Temple. They left a few days later to live in Okinawa while Richard finished his military assignment. Richard then returned to BYU, where he completed his schooling and earned his master's degree in engineering. While Richard worked for the Bureau of Reclamation in Provo, they lived on the Lassen Ranch in Bird's Eye, Utah, where he served as bishop. They transferred to Salt Lake City, where they have lived for 43 years. Carol taught theater and English at Ochre I'm new, Hills Middle School for 12 years. After retiring, she served a 2.5-year church service mission with the Church Cultural Arts Committee. When the Lassens decided to put in their papers to serve a full-time senior couple mission, they were astonished when they were called to serve in Mongolia as welfare humanitarian missionaries. They loved serving in Mongolia. After they had been home for about a year, they decided to put in their missionary papers to serve another mission. This time they were called to serve as area welfare specialists in Hong Kong. After a year after being released from that mission, they felt they could be doing more than they were. This time, they were called to serve a full-time, live-at-home mission in the Utah Salt Lake City Headquarters Mission as Senior Missionary Welfare Coordinators. They completed this assignment on August 22nd of this year. During their missions, they experienced a wide variety of experiences. They also witnessed how much senior couples are needed and what tremendous good they can accomplish. Our missions have changed our lives. Oliver Wendell Holmes said it best, "A mind that is stretched by new experience can never go back to its old dimensions." Welcome.
Thank you. Is that fair enough?
Yeah. First, I want to make sure every one of you has one of these cards. We'll be referring to this card through our presentation. And you'll notice on one side of the card, it talks about a full-time mission, which I assume most of you are here to learn more about. The other side is about church service missions, so we'll do that. In our most recent calling, we served as senior missionary coordinators in the welfare department, but we worked very closely with the missionary department because couples who were anticipating serving a mission, if they had an interest in welfare and humanitarian work, they would call us to find out about that type of a mission. And then many of them would come in and see us and visit with us, and we'd help in the process of getting their papers going and everything. And then those that got called to be that type of a missionary, we would call them and welcome them and give them a whole bunch of material, get them ready for the MTC, and it was our job to get them to the MTC and well-prepared to go on their mission, and then they turn them over to their mission president after that. But so we had the opportunity to visit with many, many missionaries, and having served two humanitarian missions ourselves, we were able to answer a lot of their questions, and not only that, but we were quite familiar with other types of missionaries as well, because we had all those different types of missionaries serving in our mission.
And I might just add one thing. We were missionaries first and foremost. Our assignment was to do humanitarian, but that was just kind of like our day job. So our night job, or the support job, was that we also did whatever we were asked to do to help further the kingdom. We did all kinds of assignments. We did helped with youth conference. I played the piano for primary. I mean, we just did all kinds of assignments. And so when we say that we did humanitarian work, yes, that was a big part of our assignment, but we were first and foremost missionaries.
Yeah, Elder Bednar, a couple of conferences ago, he talked about the experience of receiving your call. and you are hereby called to serve by a prophet as a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You are assigned to labor in such and such a mission. And he says, in the culture of the church, we tend to think of where we're assigned to labor. We're called as missionaries to Argentina or someplace. But he says, first and foremost, we're missionaries. And it doesn't matter what your specific assignment is, you're there to help build the kingdom of God and do whatever is needed. And we heard some very creative ways this morning about how people use their talents to do that. Sister Lassen was asked to help coordinate an Almongoya choir festival because the wards and branches there, most of them didn't have choirs and they weren't that used to singing. And it was a wonderful experience to bring all those together and have this great thing. And then a youth conference, and we helped couples prepare for their temple trips to Hong Kong, got to accompany one. When we served in Hong Kong, I was assigned to be in the branch presidency of the Filipino branch, which were sisters from the Philippines and Indonesia that come there to work as housekeepers. And they're just almost all sisters. They'd send their money home. Sister Lassen was served as a district presidency of the primary. And we served as ordinance workers one night a week in the Hong Kong temple. So it makes for a well-rounded mission. And it makes you so that, well, as humanitarian, we were bound to the community. We had tremendous friends in the community. But it also bound us to the members of the church. And I'll tell you, when it came time to go home, that was a hard thing. Because most of those people you're not going to see again. And you have this, thankful for Facebook, to keep those ties going. But I'll tell you what, when we came home, it was kind of surreal because we left those folks that we loved so much. We got on the airplane. We came down that ramp, you know, the ramp in the Salt Lake, you know, and the family's all there, and there's your family. And it's almost like when you're passing this veil to go beyond the veil, and you leave people here, and you got the others on the other side. We're one eternal family, and we're bound together by the gospel of Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ himself. Do you want to tell about your church, sir? Just introduce the...
Yeah, so we were asked to talk about the types of missions. I mean, that was kind of our topic. And so you'll see us kind of throw a little bit of our experience in as we go along. But basically, there are the church service, which are more of a part-time mission, although some of those can go up to, you know, quite a few hours. And so the handout that we gave you on one side has the full-time missions, and then on the other side, the part-time. And so we're going to talk about the church service mission, and I just want to say that there is hopefully a place in your heart and maybe your time for both. I never really considered, I mean, we always thought we would do maybe a couple mission, but I never really considered doing a church service mission until we graduated, we retired, and my husband was still serving as bishop, and we had some family obligations that we needed to be, so I had some time on my hands, and I thought, what could I do? So I went to the church website and just did a little search, and my background is my husband, or as you heard, I taught theater and English, and so I thought, well, they probably won't have anything that would be up my alley, you know, that I could do for, as a part-time mission, and lo and behold, I found this, they wanted somebody to serve on the Cultural Arts Committee, on the Script Committee, and I called Mike Magleby, who is in the priesthood department, and I talked to him about it, and he affirmed that yes, in fact, they would want me to help with that. And I served doing that for 2.5 years and loved it until I had to quit because it was time now for us to serve our full-time mission. But these are wonderful opportunities to serve, but maybe not at the expense of being able to serve full-time. Don't strike me for saying that. But I do want to tell you that You know, some of those missions can be worked in maybe before or after your mission, or anyway, a full-time mission. But and some of you may not be able to serve a full-time mission, in which case it's a wonderful opportunity. Yeah.
When the Jordan River Temple closed for, which is still closed, for a couple of years, many of those, well, they were all released from their callings, and they were used to serving so many hours a week.
The temple workers.
And many of those took up a church service mission. And we've talked to a lot of them, and they really, really enjoy it. So part of our presentation is on church service part-time missions and others on full-time missionaries. And so we'll just define for you what a full, so a part-time church service is, number one, it's part-time up to 8 to 32 hours a week. You usually live at home. Not always the case. When we were serving in our mission recently, a couple was called to serve in a bishop's storehouse. They had a 27-year-old daughter who was developmentally disabled but high-functioning. That 27-year-old had to live with them. They got special permission to take their daughter with them on a mission. And a welfare bishop's storehouse was a perfect assignment for that, because they can take their daughter and she can help them in there. And the service is from 6 to 24 months. Fulfills local or regional needs. They can. We'll show you how to go to the website to find opportunities for a church service mission. You can actually, with full-time, we've inferred that you can choose your, you can't really choose your full-time mission, because that's assigned by an apostle. But you can state your preferences. With a part-time, you can actually decide for yourself what you want to do. And there's hundreds of choices. Your call is issued by the stake president. You're set apart by your bishop. It's totally flexible. Usually, if you're serving a part-time mission and you need to be gone for a week, St. George, whatever, and you can work that out because it's flexible. You don't attend the MTC, but you do wear a mission badge. The information we have is only about two-thirds of the opportunities for church service missionaries has been filled. So there,
and the numbers have gone up since then. We don't have the current ones on that.
Right. Do you want to do the little video?
Okay, so this is from a current website, and I'll just pull up a little video, which you can talk for a minute while I'm doing that.
The Church Service Missionary Program is an inspired program of the church that provides member resources to church operations to help enable them to deliver the products and services to bless people's lives. You know, with the recent change in the missionary department's minimum age, 18 for young men and 19 for young women, we follow those same minimum age guidelines. But there is no maximum age. We also have what we call the Young Church Service Missionary Program. This is for those young adults who, for whatever reason, whether it's a physical, mental, or emotional disability, did not qualify to serve a full-time proselyting mission. Then there are church service missionary opportunities for those who still want to serve.
You can do a part-time mission where you're only serving, you know, 20 hours a week. There's missions where you can do half of that. And there's missions where you can serve 80 hours a week if that's what you want.
I don't know if I go.
Well, the nice thing about a part-time service mission is because I still can serve in the Boston Temple as an ordinance worker.
Okay, we'll end that there. So the process to become a church service missionary is you browse on the website, which we're going to show you the website, and then you sign into the website using your LDS username and your password. And to learn more about the opportunities, we'll show you how to do that. then you can contact the people. There's a contact there that you can call them and talk about that specific assignment to learn more about it and if it would fit you. And then you visit with your local priesthood leaders, and the stake president issues you you fill out the papers. Stake president issues a call, and the bishop sets you apart, and you begin serving. So there's next slide. So this is not comprehensive at all, but this just shows the big variety of church service opportunities. Distribution centers, retail stores, headquarters, hosting, meeting house maintenance, church media, seminaries, institute, technical support, mission offices, church media, addiction recovery, bishop storehouses, cannery, Deseret Industries, and on down in family history. We have a good friend who's serving a church service mission in the employment center in Sandy. And I think he's served there through a couple of our missions. He just keeps re-upping at the end because he loves it so much. So now we're just going to show you this website quickly and how to use that.
And that's the one that's on there. Okay, so...
And the link to that is...
Yeah, this is the Church Service Missionary and Long-Term Volunteer Opportunities, and we've heard that these are starting to be maybe merged soon into one website for all the missionaries, but right now this is the way it is. And so you can go on here and do a search, and the other one will be similar to this, but you will be able to put in a search for opportunities. You'll be able to look to see, you have to sign in, you have to look to see what your skills are. You could put in keywords, you could right now, like if you wanted to do Bishop Storehouse and you might be want it to be, maybe you're in Washington, or we'll just put Utah for right now, but there's you can actually put in a city if you are, you know, living in a certain city. Anyway, and let's just put in
Provo.
Okay. And then you do, there's Provo on there, and then you do a search, and you can find all different kinds of opportunities. If the opportunity that you want doesn't come up, then you maybe go to Salt Lake or to something that's closer. And I'll just put in Salt Lake and search there.
40.
And there's 40 there. So and what you do when you go into the site is you'll be able to find out, this is for, you'll be able to find out what kinds of opportunities are available. You could search it by your stake if you want to find out what opportunities are available in that your stake is assigned
to. Each stake president is assigned a certain number of church service missionaries, missions to fulfill. So he's looking for people in those areas. But you don't have to be bound to that. You can find your own.
Okay, and so these just give you, this will just give you an opportunity to really look and see what is available, as well as there's a phone number to phone that you can call that's on our paper that we've seen.
Okay,
and here's some of the examples of Bishop Storehouse in Salt Lake. Here's the name of who you would contact, and the coordinator, and about what it is, the purposes, the responsibility, the qualifications. For example, they want you to be able to lift up to about 40 to 50 pounds if you're going to be doing that kind of an assignment, which is really a wonderful, fulfilling assignment, but it's not for somebody that can't walk, you know, or that would be having other problems. So, and the right here, you can apply on
if you
for it right
apply
there
now,
if you want to.
Your state president's going to get a notification or somebody to apply. You might not be too quick to hit the apply now until you've called the coordinator and kind of figured out what you need to do. But then it leads you to the forms and things you need to fill out.
Okay, so that's how it's done right now, state of the art, but subject to change. Okay.
And there's a general number to call on the card that we gave you and a website to go to for that. So let's move
okay.
On
and time. Then, and so that's part of it is the church service missions. You can call the phone number and also the the form that you can use to fill out is right there online, too. So if you want to do that. Oh, I see people taking notes by taking pictures on their phone. Okay, I don't know. All right, so let's go back to the...
We'll go to full-time now.
Full-time now. Video. Wait till you see how much fun that can be.
For the grand opening of our call.
Well, this is addressed to Elder Joseph Scott Reese and Sister Kathleen Reese.
You are assigned to labor in the Kentucky Louisville Mission.
You are assigned to labor in the Dominican Republic.
Can you guys turn the sound? Can you guys turn the sound up?
I had no idea I would absolutely love it.
You get to know each other again. You think you know it. We've been married 30 years.
There are needs out in the world that bring happiness to us that cannot be achieved through any other process than serving the mission.
Like the scripture says, if you have the desire, that's all you need.
I know that anybody can serve a mission, because if we can do it, you guys can do it.
So I'll tell you, opening your call is a, I call it a sacred moment. There's few times in your life when you have that opportunity, because your life is about to change, and it's going to affect you, and it's going to affect your family. It's going to affect untold number of other people who you'll be serving. The church goes to great lengths to make sure that no one tips you off about where that call is. There's probably people that know. Your stake president may know. I don't know. But no one says anything until you open that call, because you need to be the first one to do that.
So we want to look at what a full-time mission is. It's full-time, and it's live away from home. Occasionally, you might be on a full-time mission at home. We were for our last one, which was quite unusual, but it's assigned by a member of the 12 Apostles. It's called...
By the way, if you live at home, you don't do the medical exam. You don't have to worry about the insurance they talked about, or the dental. So it's filling out the papers for a live-at-home full-time mission is pretty easy. Okay.
Or for a church service mission. They don't require that either. It's called by the prophet. You can serve for 6, 12, 18, or 23 months, 12 to 18 months for senior sisters. And it depends on the assignment, because, and you want to be careful that, you know, if you say you're only available for 6 months, they're not going to probably assign you for a longer one, and you may miss out on some wonderful opportunities. So you have to really consider, you know, seriously how much time you can put. If you are able to do 18 months or 23 months, you know, you might want to consider that. Age 40 or over, single sisters and couples.
Let me just mention also... no dependent children under 18 who would be living in your home. And the maximum age, there's no maximum age. The minimum age is 40. The oldest person that we saw missionary papers come through during our mission was 88 years old. A single sister applied for a mission at 88 years old. The youngest was 45. The wife was 45 and the husband was 48. They were contractors. They said, we can shut our business down. We got a son leaving on a mission. He's going to be gone 2 years. We're available for 18 months. And they got called to go to Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam, and they're really excited.
And you're set apart by your stake president. You attend the MTC. It might not be an MTC here in the States, even. It could be an MTC wherever you're called.
It's usually here in the States.
It's usually here.
From the United States or Canada.
Wear a missionary badge. And we have heard from several sources that the greatest need is full-time missionaries. Only about half of those that are needed are filled. And having served in Mongolia and in Hong Kong, we can testify to you of the good that that those missionaries do and of the need. Those people are so, so grateful to have you there.
Senior couples can serve in areas that sometimes the younger missionaries can't. One reason for that might be the church is not recognized yet. And so, like, we served in Mongolia for the first while. There were humanitarian missionaries that went in there, and they created the goodwill and opened up the country and set it up so then they could start sending full-time missionaries. So there's a tremendous need for full-time missionaries, and of that, the greatest need of that is foreign service.
Okay, so steps to becoming a full-time missionary, most of you know. You start the recommendation process by meeting with your bishop. We did have people call us, they'll say, how do we start this? Well, go talk to your bishop, you know. Oh, that's a good idea. So that's how you do it. And if you're serious about it and he thinks that would be a good fit for you, he will open up the missionary portal, which gives you access to the missionary online recommendation system. And then the way you get into that, and I'll just show another slide, is by going to, this is lds.org. You go to their blue bar that's across the top there, and just a second. And from there, you go to the Share the Gospel, and then that little box will pop down, and it will go right there to Full-Time Missionary Portal. So you go in there, and you fill out your papers, and you get your, if you're, you know, doing the full-time mission, you get your exams and your dental exams and all that kind of stuff. And anyway, you just follow those instructions.
We've heard the quote from the four section Doctrine and Covenants a couple of times today, that if you have desires to serve, you're called to the work. Well, how do the brethren know that you have a desire to serve? Because you submit your papers. That's your indication that you have a desire to serve. If you don't submit your papers, there may be a few instances where someone knows about you, like with President Williams, who would call up and ask you to come and serve in his mission. But the brethren have to have your papers to do that.
Part of this is that we believe the inspiration, information leads to inspiration. And just the fact that you are here today shows that you are trying to get some information that might help you to make the decision about when, how to serve, and when to serve. And we know that Heavenly Father will guide you. You're part of the inspiration. You are part of the process. You are part of the inspiration that Heavenly Father gives. And so as you go home and you have those feelings about what you are supposed to do, how you are supposed to serve, you are part of the process.
Okay, now you can submit your papers up to 9 months before your mission, before your availability date. And part of the reason for that, because if you go foreign, you heard mentioned this morning, Denmark takes 6 months to get, there are some countries that take a long time to get a visa. If you have a desire to go foreign, and you're going full-time, it's a good idea to get your passports up to date and also maybe getting your shots, because the HIV shots and that take, it's a series that takes about 6 months. So 9 months seems like a long way off, but you know what? Once you have your call, you know what to plan on. If you've got somebody moving into your house or you're going to rent your house or whatever, you've got some concrete. If you put your papers in June and say we're available on the 1st of July, that, you know, there, and a lot of things, a lot of the opportunities are gone if you do short-term notice.
Let's go to the second bullet also. The brethren don't want the couples or the single sisters to feel that they're the ones that make the decision on where they're going to serve. Even though you might be recommended, by a mission president, or you might be recommended by someone else, it is definitely through the revelatory process of the 12 who knows the global needs, they know what's going on in the world, and but they do want, and they have the keys and the inspiration, but they do want to know what your talents and skills and abilities and wishes, you know, you may get hives being in the cold, or you might have other some kind of a malady or something that makes it so you could not serve in a specific area. They want to know that. That helps them to be guided as to where would be good for you to serve. But they are the ones that ultimately, with the inspiration from Heavenly Father, make that decision. And you can be assured of that every single time, that you have, your name has gone before a member of the 12 with the sanction of the first of the president of the church, that this is where you are to be called.
And but you should indicate, even though you may state preferences, you should indicate and be willing to serve wherever you're called. I'll just tell you, I don't want to scare you, but we served with a couple in Mongolia that they thought they had it all lined up to go to Nauvoo. And the specific assignment in Nauvoo was 23-month assignment. So they put in their papers for 23 months, and when their call came, they were called to Mongolia. They absolutely loved it, and they would not trade it for anything in the world, but they told everybody that they were tricked on that, that they were willing to serve. And I just found out that they're starting another mission now. It's like 5 or 6 or something.
Yeah, they've served a couple since then. President Monson said, "To the mature brothers and sisters of the church, I remind you that the Lord needs many, many more of you to serve as full-time missionaries. If you're not yet at this season of life to serve a couple's mission, I urge you to prepare now for the day when, as your circumstances allow, you and your spouse might do so. There are few times in your lives when you will enjoy the sweet spirit and satisfaction that come from giving full-time service together in the work of the Master." And I want to just say that serving, we have also been so grateful for our sisters. Oh my goodness. Those of you who, for other circumstances, are not a couple anymore, or you have not been had that opportunity, the Lord wants your service too, and He is so grateful for your willing hearts that you are willing to do that. But I think this was an eye-opener for me when we found this quote, that this is something that He would like us to consider as full-time missions. But do you want to talk
okay,
about
so
that?
How do you find out what opportunities are available? Now, this system is probably going to be changing within a few months to be more like the church service menu-driven website. But for now, you go to this, and the link's on there. It's called the Senior Missionary Opportunities Bulletin, and this has current needs of the church and opportunities in many, many, many different areas. This is updated each weekend, and as humanitarian, we updated the welfare and humanitarian one every weekend. And
because it's online, you can see. And yeah, right there is the list.
But we want to read this first page here.
Because we think this is really an important part.
I'll just read that. "This document contains the list of opportunities for prospective full-time senior missionaries. If you have preferences about where you would like to serve, please share them in the online listing preference. Online missionary recommendation form. However, listing preferences does not guarantee that you will be called to serve in any one of these particular assignments. Your mission assignment will be made by a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles as directed by the Spirit, and you will be called by the President of the Church. They thank you for your willingness to serve the Lord and utilize your talents to help build the kingdom."
So I don't think we could say it any more beautifully than they just said that, but the whole thing about missionary service is the being willing to serve. And they are going to, once you submit your papers and you put it in the hands of the Lord, you need to be willing to serve where He wants you to serve. and decide that that's something that you are willing to do. Now, the table of contents in this form, you can just go to one of those.
Click on welfare down there.
That's so our all you pet, have to sorry.
Do, all you have to do is click on it, and it opens to that page.
Okay. And then if you see down here at the bottom on the left, that's where you can get the information about if you have questions.
Those are the coordinators can, right now.
What is a welfare mission? Well, we had no idea when we got called to Mongolia what in the world it was. We didn't know whether we were going to be washing dishes or, we didn't have a clue. And so it's kind of nice to just be educated if you have questions.
So here's the number to call. And each one of these different types of missions has a coordinator that you can call. And you can even go in and visit with them and see them and all of that. And then it describes their responsibilities and qualifications and length of service and for that type of mission and future openings. So you can see on welfare, they need somebody in Zimbabwe, Sierra Leone, Ghana, and so forth. And then, but there's also bishop storehouses and home storage centers. There's ranches, if you're a cattleman and want to work on a ranch, and or canneries or different things like that. Now, here at the bottom, that's where the cost is. Let's go back to the table of contents and look at some others. I just wanted to, if you look at that table of contents, I'm just going to name off a few of them, but you can go and look online and see what they are.
Here's family history.
Okay, healthcare professionals. There's... if you're a doctor, you could serve possibly in an area office as an area medical advisor. They help advise mission presidents from all the different missions in their area. They study the health care that's available in different countries and who can do lithotripsy, who has heart stuff, or they need mission nurses too. If you're a nurse,
male or female,
they like to have each mission have its own nurse to advise the mission president. Physical and mental services, if you have background in counseling, there's LDS Family Services, there's private counseling, there's many opportunities for that. Senior sisters, there's a sister, Sister Hansen, that is solely assigned to help senior sisters with finding out what missionary opportunities are available.
And her phone number's on this website.
The Utah Salt Lake City Headquarters Mission, that's the one we served in. There's between 1,000 to 1,200 missionaries there. It's on three square blocks, three or four in Salt Lake. Most of them serve in the Church History Center, the Family History Center, the caves up the canyon. Some of them serve in headquarters like we did. And that's many opportunities. There's a Family History Department. Farmland Reserve, those are ranches and farms, but they're for-profit. And those calls get issued a little bit differently. There's the coordinators there, Elder and Sister Kitchen, that you can call and talk about it. But the call comes for that one from the presiding bishopric. And you're usually looking for people with specific skills, like heavy equipment, repair, mechanic, plumbing, electrical. And they do a lot of maintenance and taking care of that. And... there's a number there for the church service office, family history department, meeting house technology. There were people called to the Polynesian Cultural Center to run the audio video or to take care of the plumbing or to take care of the electrical or to take care of the grounds. There's many in church history visitor centers and church history sites. Military relations, if you're retired from the military, they would love to have you come and be a military relations full-time missionary as a support to the soldiers who were serving there and to the branches. And that's a very popular item. People that serve there just love it. In the music department, Office of Communication Specialist, if you have skills with communications, internet, and those types of things. If you're an attorney, Office of General Counsel, each area has an area legal advisor or legal counsel, and they call couples, and if one of them's an attorney, to review the agreements and all the legal things and work with the visas and everything for the whole area. As humanitarian missionaries, we utilized them a lot because every project we did had a legal agreement with our partner or sometimes with the government. Polynesian Cultural Center, publishing services, church security, there's opportunities there at temples and at church headquarters and various centers. Self-reliance, this is a new area. The church has started setting up self-reliance centers in each stake and mission throughout the whole church. And these are generally headed by a church employee who's the self-reliance officer, but they have self-reliant missionaries that support them. These handle employment. They do a lot of training like for employment centers for job interviews and resume preparation. And they work with the Perpetual Education Fund, anything to do with developing self-reliance with the members of the church. Special projects, there are people serving in headquarters that have experience with natural resources, maybe water rights, legal things, and they work there helping with that. Temple department, there's a lot of mostly foreign. There's some in the U.S. for temple missions. Usually they require that you've been an ordinance worker at some point in your life. Recreational properties, you're familiar with the different properties the church has for girls' homes and camps and things like that. Temporal affairs department. Translation and interpretation. Welfare services, we talked about that. Educational support. There was one assignment that we were trying to fill up in Canada for two couples to work on an Indian reservation, helping high school dropouts get their GED and get back into school, and also helping junior high and high school students get through college. And then they had other assignments in addition to that. There are some educational assignments where you go and help train educators in different parts of the country, like in Samoa or places like that.
Now, as we mentioned, you don't pick your own mission. However, if you saw some of these, and these were just things that, you know, maybe they were things that need special language, and you have that special language, or if there were something that needed a special skill, and you have that special skill, put that on your missionary papers and say, wow, I have been doing, you know, okay, don't say wow, but this is my profession, or this is my hobby, and I, you know, worked in this, or let the brethren know so that they can, a lot of this is just kind of in some ways, it's like an informed puzzle. I mean, they are putting together all of these pieces, and yes, it's totally by inspiration, but information leads to inspiration. And so you're not going to pick your own mission, but you are going to have the opportunity of letting the brethren know what kinds of things you're good at and what kinds of things you could never do are okay, you know?
It's not required to state your preferences. Many people do not. They say, use me. Here I am. This is what I know how to do. Willing to do anything. I'm willing to go anywhere. And we sort of did that when we went to Mongolia because, frankly, it was overwhelming to us. I mean, we had no clue. I mean, and we felt a little intimidated trying to steer our mission somewhere, you know. So we just put our papers in, and we got called to Mongolia. And honestly, we could not have been happier. We would not trade that experience for anything in the world, but it gave us a start. And after that, our mission to Hong Kong kind of fed off of our experience in Mongolia, and our mission to headquarters kind of fed off what we did, and it led to one thing or another. So I don't know what the percentage is of repeat missionaries in the church, if there's any statistics on that, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of repeat missionaries in the church. When you hear there's like 6,300 serving, a lot of those are repeat missionaries, and there's a reason for that. And serving in the position we were, it was just fun to see where people were going, because it was like musical chairs. I mean, they go here, then they go there. And these people trade places with those people, and it's really fun. So let's hear the video from Elder Sister Wyman.
Oh, I don't think we have time.
For yeah.
That.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be through at 10 after.
10 after, yeah. Go do it.
No.
No? Oh.
We'll just tell you. Elder and Sister Wyman loved their mission. He didn't think he was going to like his mission. He didn't want to be on a mission that he could talk. And they actually thought they were going in the mission field to serve as an office couple, but the president of the mission needed them to do something else and to go and work with a sweet little branch, and they did. And he promised Elder Wymer that he would have opportunity to be in the waters of baptism. And Elder Wymer, 4 converts that he was able to baptize, and he was so thrilled. He cried as he told about this. But it was a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. So you just never know what the Lord's got in mind for you. Wonderful experiences.
They started up a study group of just people in their branch, and it showed a video. The whole house was filled with people. They had like 15 people there, all studying the gospel, and some of them weren't even members of the church.
And so an assignment to labor in a specific place is essential and important, but it's secondary to a call to the work. Elder Bednar said
that.
And these are just some quick pictures of us getting our mission call. We're going to just whip through those really fast. We were called to be missionaries. My mom. And we were looking up, where is Mongolia?
It was Outer Mongolia, too.
And here we are on a little trail up, going up to visit some people that were. And we are trying to.
It's a GPS reading for a well that was going to go in right on that corner.
And here we are at a well ceremony and visiting a family where the grandmother received a wheelchair. And here we are, one of the little Mongolian, this was a traditional Mongolian outfit, and one of the ladies said to me, she says, oh, Sister Lassen, you look so beautiful. And I'm going, oh my goodness, if my family saw me, they would laugh. But it really was, and it was so tender that they loved it. And we loved and embraced their culture.
We don't really have time for...
We have about 2 minutes,
okay.
A minute.
You want to do any of those quotes at the end?
You are in the skirt, in the dirt. Uh-huh. That still
the dress code? The dress code depends partly on, I can't remember.
I wore that hat all winter long because you needed something on your head. We just have a
just
couple.
Just a minute, Richard. He's going to answer that question. And depending on how many mosquitoes are in your neighborhood. Yeah.
Do senior missionaries get the same language training as the young elders?
It's not the same, and if they don't have to take it. I mean, there's very, very few that actually are told that they have to have that assignment, but that they actually have to have that as part of their assignment. However, if you choose to do it, which we did, we just thought, well, we'll go for it. So we took several months by going down to the MTC, and you can take it by Skype, and it gives you the opportunity
We were never proficient, but it really endeared us to the members and to the non-members.
They loved. We could say, San Bano, you know,
and
how
we,
are you?
We practiced on taxi drivers because we knew we'd never see them again. And,
okay, we'll take one more question right here. Yeah.
I have a question as far as money. Back on page 5, where you're looking at all the opportunities, one of the locations is India, New Delhi. The estimated cost per month is $2,115. So is that what you pay?
That's without insurance. So the insurance would be on top of that.
Okay, the housing and part, go ahead.
Go ahead, finish your question.
But you pay the $1,400.
Okay, they can answer that afterward. There's a question and answer period, and the missionary.
For housing.
Okay. Part of that cost is housing, which you pay to your.
Yeah. Yeah.
Part of that cost. That's it. That's included housing, transportation, and personal costs. The housing and the vehicle, if you rent one from the church, are paid to your local ward. All the other expenses come out of your pocket while you're on your mission.
And these are really, really, really great questions for you to ask the panel that will, because they are the authorities on
the
that.
The last session.
But I'll just end by saying I loved our service. I love my little part-time church service mission, but I really loved serving as a full-time missionary. And I just want to bear my testimony to you that Heavenly Father knows who you are and He knows where you're going to serve. You just don't know yet.
Yeah. And the mission was a great testimony to us of the truthfulness of the gospel, because we knew we were on the Lord's errand. He knew what we were trying to do. We prayed for specific miracles to help us with the work, and we got specific, very specific answers to those miracles. The Lord is around you on your right and your left, and he really helped us a lot. And so anyway, the thought that we had when we came home from our mission to Mongolia was, oh my gosh, what if we had not gone? We would have no idea what we missed. As we started with the quote from Oliver Wendell Holmes, a mind stretched by new experience can never go back to its old dimensions. You do not come home the same person that you left. And that's going to be true no matter where you serve. And I say it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.